Welcome to the final week of our Ezra Nehemiah study. It's been a great study and I've learned so much. And friend, this was a hard week, I think. I think mostly because it led to some conviction in my heart, and maybe you feel the same. In fact, the title for this week's teaching, Follow God's Call, Even When It's Costly, speaks to why we may feel that conviction. And I should have paid more attention to that on the front end when I read it. But today, Melissa Spolstra joins us. And Melissa, I imagine that because of the content, it was probably a hard week for you to tackle and teach. But I've read and I've talked to you about this, what God laid on your heart, and I'm thankful for it because you truly helped bring this week's chapter alive for me. And it made it easier for me to digest and connect with and to have some conversations with God about. So I think our first five friend will feel the same. So let's just jump right in.
Yes, definitely. It was a week of conviction for me personally, partly because I recently read a book about how attention spans and focus have been affected by our smartphones and our laptops. And I've just found personally that reading for long periods to be more challenging. And I don't like the amount of times I touch my phone per day, checking my email or scrolling mindlessly on social media. And so I decided that for the next year, I'm taking social media and email off my phone. I can still check it on my laptop or, you know, other devices, but I'm just trying to change my habits surrounding my phone. And so I got some accountability and set out with these great intentions to put this into practice. Yet I have to admit, I've just made excuses. I just need to check my email so I can blah, 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 whatever made up thing that, and I'll start on this date for real. So today I can scroll on Facebook on my phone. I mean, I took the app off. I'm just going to the browser and reading through the end of Nehemiah along with all of you amazing first five readers this week. I found that I'm not the only one who struggles to put into practice what I've set out to do. And with screen habits, it's one thing. But these are wisdom issues. When it comes to obedience to God's clear commands, the stakes are so much higher. So here's the truth that we're going to camp out on today is that good intentions are good, but they're not good enough. See, in our humanity, we often strive harder, try to be better, or think maybe a better leader will help us follow through on our good intentions. But as we look at God's people in Nehemiah's day, we remember that dependence on God rather than human effort is the path to consistency. So as we look at the people's patterns in Nehemiah, we'll find something of our own story when it comes to aligning our intentions and our actual obedience. Kind of talking about the gap between where I am and where I want to be. And so our first point is just to commit to reliance on God's strength rather than willpower. I mean, we don't want to stop dedicating ourselves to obedience. God's people did it continually throughout the scriptures. The book of Judges reveals a cycle of commitment to God, drifting into sin, crying out to God, God rescuing his people, and a renewed commitment to God, and then the cycle just continuing. And we saw this pattern clearly in Nehemiah chapter 9, 28 to 31. I want to refresh our memories and read it for us. It says, but after they had rest, they did evil again before you, and you abandoned them to the hands of their enemies, so that they had dominion over them. Yet when they turned and cried out to you, you heard from heaven, and many times you delivered them according to your mercies. And you warned them in order to turn them back to your law. Yet they acted presumptuously and did not obey your commandments, but sinned against your rules, which if a person does them, he shall live by them. And they turned a stubborn shoulder and stiffened their neck and would not obey. Many years you bore them and warned them by your spirit through your prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore you gave them into the hands of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, in your great mercies, you did not make an end of them or forsake them, for you are a gracious and merciful God. And right after Nehemiah reviewed this bit of history, the people then made a covenant to obey. I mean, they made seals and put the names of 84 of their leaders on them and committed the people with great intention. I want to read just a little part of this just to refresh our memory about seeing their good intentions and their commitment. This is Nehemiah 10, verses 28 and 29. the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, the gatekeepers, the singers, the temple servants, and all who have separated themselves from the peoples of the lands to the law of God, their wives, their sons, their daughters, all who have knowledge and understanding, join with their brothers, their nobles, and enter into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law that was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe and do all the commandments of the Lord, our Lord, and his rules and his statutes. And the chapter goes on to lay out some specific areas of commitment. Particularly, we see three areas of obedience. They talked about intermarriage. They would not intermarry with other cultures so that they could stay pure in following Yahweh. They talked about Sabbath, that they would take seriously God's commands to rest. And then there was a lot of conversation about first fruits or sacrifices, that they would bring the first of their harvest, the first of what they had, and offer it to God sacrificially. So they made this commitment to follow God. And commitment to follow God and his ways is a noble pursuit. We don't want to give up on making commitments, whether they're to stop looking at our phones, improve our health, or especially to obey God, to study his word, to pray, to gather in community, to tell the truth, whatever it is where we're struggling, to make that commitment. I know I would tell my kids all the time, hey, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. And that's true for you and me today. We don't want to just say, oh, we're just defeated. I just know I'm going to fail, so I'm going to quit trying to do what's right. Instead, we can take a different approach. We can commit to reliance on God, to repenting, to dependence, to abiding, focusing on relationship rather than outcomes. So the second point in our teaching today is this. Knowing we will drift, we can ask God for the power to shift. See, God's people in the Bible, as well as God's people through history, including you and me, struggle with drifting. When we're at a conference, in a worship service, or celebrating with other believers, we can feel firmly rooted in our commitments. And in Nehemiah, we saw this. We saw the people, they sang, they marched, they shouted for joy, they dedicated the walls with great fanfare. It was almost like reading about a parade, wasn't it? But it didn't take long for them to drift back into their old ways. See, Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer and only had permission to be in Jerusalem for a limited amount of time. While he was away, drifting was happening. One of the priests gave one of the rooms in the temple to his relative. And that wasn't all. Remember those commitments the people had obligated themselves to in the covenant? We talked about kind of three main areas of obedience. I want to just read from Nehemiah 13, where we see them drifting in all three of those areas. In Nehemiah 13, verse 10, Nehemiah says, I also found out that the portions of the Levites had not been given to them, so that all the Levites and singers who did the work had fled each to his field. So they weren't bringing their first fruits and their offerings that were to provide for the leaders of God's people. Then in verse 15, in those days, I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in heaps of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of loads, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on that day when they sold food. So remember, they had committed themselves to the Sabbath. But here we find when their leader was away, they began to drift into greed and to break God's law so that they could continue to do business on the Sabbath. Then in Nehemiah 13, verses 23 and 24, Nehemiah wrote, in those days, I also saw the Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. And half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and they could not speak the language of Judah, but only the language of each people. And as we read this, we've realized that God's people here in the book of Nehemiah had forgotten the why behind their commitment. They had committed themselves to follow God, to wholeheartedly dedicate themselves. I mean, they had put those seals with the 84 people representing the entire group in those three areas. And before we judge them too harshly, like, hey, you made a commitment. You drifted from your commitment. What happened to them? Happens to us. It happens to me. I would imagine you, as you read this, could say that has happened to me. That at times I've had good intentions, but then we forget why we ever made these commitments in the first place. We get weary of saying no to our flesh. We make excuses. We compare ourselves to others who are doing worse things than we are to kind of validate why we've slid from our commitment. Or we ask, did God really say? Was rest really that important? Was offering ourselves up, our first fruits to God, really that important? And rather than live in the shame of our failed commitments and beat ourselves up, instead we can do what Nehemiah did. We remember. We remember the essence of the gospel, that our good will never be good enough. If it could have been, God wouldn't have needed to send his one and only son to put on flesh and dwell among us and die for our sin. Instead, our failures can bring us to this place of remembering that as Christians, we aren't super righteous people who always do what's right. We're humbly admitting we can't do it. We're so needy of Jesus. Now, we don't stop making commitments to follow and obey. We just recognize and remember that the drift will come. And when it does, we count on God to shift us back through his power. Only he can take out our hearts of stone and make them tender and responsive. Only he can give us the power to start again and again and again on the other side of our failures. And that brings us here to our last point today. And it's just that we never stop starting. Notice the final words in the book of Nehemiah. This is from chapter 13, verses 30 to 31. He wrote, "Thus I cleansed them from everything foreign, and I established the duties of the priests and Levites, each in his work. And I provided for the wood offering at the appointed times and for the first fruits. Remember me, oh my God, for good." Here's what Nehemiah didn't say. He said, "We're just giving up, God. We're just going to feed our flesh and live the rest of our lives in shame." Instead, he cleansed the temple again. He reestablished the duties of the priests and Levites and helped the people set out again to give offerings and first fruits. And for us, I just look at this for me. We never give up. We admit our sin again. We turn away from it again. We turn to God again and we ask for help. We recognize that apart from Jesus, we can do nothing. And we put our energy into abiding rather than managing our behavior. Now, I just want to admit, I know the process is exhausting firsthand. But remember, that's our key word, remember, we have been saved from the penalty of sin. That's our justification. We are being saved by the power of sin on a daily basis as we drift and shift. This is our sanctification. But one day we will be saved from the very presence of sin. That's called glorification. And that's in our future. That's in your future. I praise God that's in my future, that this drifting and shifting process, this cycle that we get so weary of where our good intentions end in failure and we have to turn back again, will not be forever. But until then, we press in and we press on and we never stop starting anew. I'm going to keep pressing on into walking, reading, and silence, more of that in my life and less email checking and scrolling. And we here at First Five are your friends on the field, together with you in the battle against sin. And I just want you to know that you are not alone, that good intentions are good, but they are not good enough. We need to remember every day the truth of the gospel and allow the Lord himself to give us the power to obey him.
Oh my goodness. And all God's people said amen to that. I always think it's so great when we bring alive books like Ezra and Nehemiah that sometimes we avoid because, oh gosh, there's just so much history. There's so many names, but oh, to just see it really, God's word is living and active. And these are mistakes they made are the same mistakes we make. And we need their wisdom because they've gone before us. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I want to share one thing that I wrote down. It's two sentences, but really stuck with me when you wrote, said, "We don't stop making commitments to follow and obey. We just recognize and remember the drift will come. And when it does, we count on God to shift us back through his power. Only he can take out our hearts of stone, make them tender and responsive. Only he can give us the power to start again and again and again on the other side of failures." Mm-hmm. So thank you. And I contacted Melissa earlier and really, you know, usually I close in prayer, but today I really felt led to have her close us. So would you close us in prayer, Melissa?
I'd love to.
Thanks.
Father God, we just come before you as your people. You made us, you know us, you know that we are but dust. And we just come confessing that our desire, our commitment is to follow you and to obey you and to live according to your word, your ways, your spirit. But so many times we start out and we drift. We fall away from the things that we started out with. And God, I just pray for every woman here today that feels discouraged because maybe she even started out this morning well and is struggling in a matter of minutes or hours or maybe she's just discouraged and weary in obedience. I pray that you would supernaturally infuse her with strength, that she would know that we've never out-sinned your grace, that we can always turn from our sin and turn back to you and find grace. And Lord, we just admit that we are needy of you and we that apart from you, we truly can't do nothing. And we ask that today you would help us to make a fresh new commitments to you and then give us the power to follow you. And when we struggle, Lord, that we would first of all always run back to you. We love you so much. We desire to follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.